Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB's Kevin Wooster contemplates the message of music and the role of religion in seeking justice on his blog this week, and you can find his work online at sdpb.org/Wooster. And he joins us today on the phone. Hey, Kevin, welcome back.
It's always good to be back, Lori.
We were talking yesterday with the Dakota Political Junkies about the festivities tomorrow and, well, starting kicking up right now in the Black Hills. And I was talking about how much I dislike traffic. So what's your plan for the weekend? Are you going to hide away from any additional traffic? Or are you going out seeking a little Independence Day adventure?
Well, first, I love Traffic, the group with Steve Winwood. And that was kind of one of the people back with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I want to make sure that we weren't missing Traffic, the music of Traffic, as opposed to the traffic mess we're going to have here. But I'm not going, anywhere near Rushmore for this period. I probably wouldn't normally. I think you and I have talked that I've only seen one fireworks display in person, sort of, and that was actually from the top of Black Oak Peak. So unlike most people who look up at the fireworks over Mount Rushmore, I looked down on it, and I enjoyed that. I thought it put everything in perspective pretty well that night. Certainly not putting it down, but we probably also talked about the fact that in about 5 minutes, I'm done with fireworks. So if it's a 20-minute display, 15 minutes of it is me going, okay, can we leave? So that's that. And Seth, great story by Seth.
I didn't start liking fireworks. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to SDPB Radio. This is In the Moment. My guest is Kevin Wooster. Oh, you're still there. Good. All right. I was going to say, I didn't start liking fireworks at all until I was a parent. Yeah, well, one of those magical delays, but we're still together.
Yeah. And now that you know,
I was one of those kids who would cry every time. All right, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about your blog post. Let's see if we can make this work here.
Okay, am I still here?
You are still here. Tell us a little bit about some of your early experiences. I'm going to let you talk for a few minutes so we can work this out. You're writing a little bit about music and some early memories, and then we'll jump to present time. Go.
Well, me talk for a few minutes? That's hard to imagine. I'm usually at a loss for words. But it's one of those things, as you know, if you're writing, you start thinking about things going on, and I've struggled with how to write anything about what's going on today in race relations and, hopefully policing reform in certain areas and those kind of things. And somehow I ended up back on the beach by Chamberlain with a bonfire and a teenage girl. I was a teenager then, and talking about music. And you know what happens, you're struggling to find an inroad, a way to enter a story that's difficult or a subject matter that's difficult, and suddenly you slip into it. And that sometimes for some of us as we get older, slipping into it is easier if it's decades ago rather than right now. And so that was the entry point for this. Also the idea that we had this conversation, this very nice young woman and I, and disagreed over whose band we liked best or which kind of music we liked best. And one of the things she said was she didn't care for some of the music I listened to because it made you think too much, and she just wanted to listen to the music. Mm-hmm. And we had a conversation, and I think that's kind of the way the whole blog column took off. And then it took shape, really, while I was sitting in Mass yesterday with Father Ed Witt, the Jesuit priest up in the North Rapid Parish that serves primarily Native people. There are plenty of non-Natives that go there too, including my wife and I, and the prophet Amos. So from there, all things started to blend, I guess.
Yeah, and we've been talking a lot this week about Mount Rushmore and, racism in America and, statuary and sculptures and one of the themes that comes across is that moment of what do we allow make us think? How do we process that time? It's not necessarily a bad thing to sit and look at the complexities of something. It's not necessarily something to run away from, is it?
No, and my guess is, the young woman that I was with, she was probably in a good place of development, working her way into adulthood, and I thought I was maybe smarter and older and more mature and wiser than I really was at that time. And but sitting with Father Ed, who's one of those guys that takes the scripture and brings it, boom, into your daily life and hits you right in the face with it and says, okay, what are you going to do about this? And whether that's climate change or whether it's racism or whether it's dealing, you know, in some positive, helpful way with the homeless issues and things. And that's what he did there with a scripture reading from Amos about justice. And, you know, Ed is always talking about the core of our faith has to be a love of goodness and a love of right and a love of justice as well as a love of God. And that kind of gets you going on. It got me from there to, it happened to be Amos, as his particular scripture reading by Amos was a favorite of Martin Luther King's, and the importance of fighting for justice. And as you and I know, Martin Luther King did that in a nonviolent way, but not in a peaceful way always. And in said, as I said in the column, that sometimes it can't be done without a certain amount of civil disobedience and uproar.
I want to talk to you about Amos here a little bit, but first it occurs to me, and I very rarely speak for all women, Kevin, but there is a possibility that you might have, not considered, which is how often women are told by wise men what music they should like. And maybe she liked your music just fine, and she just didn't like you and the way you were. If I downloaded every time a well-meaning fella told me I should really like this band better than the one that I liked, I don't know. That's kind of a thing.
Well, and here's the funny thing. I like Chicago better now than I did when I was 18. And so, I mean, who was the wise person then, me or her? I don't know. I know that I was judgmental. I was often judgmental and difficult, and I think she was probably a nicer person than I was. Maybe smarter too.
Who's to say? but I sent you a link this morning because yesterday I was listening to this piece on Here and Now about that Tom Gelton did about the history of racism in organized religion. And this idea that for some people there's this unforgivable failing of white supremacy in the church. When you're challenged by the words of Amos or challenged by something you hear in Mass, how do you also kind of look at this history of religious oppression of indigenous people or things that organized religion has done that are shameful?
Some people ask me when they mention, for example, the Catholic Church and the priest abuse things, the vast majority of which was decades ago, but still horrible and must be addressed and continuing, and those kinds of things. And again, the racism that was expressed in some, and I don't know, maybe many Christian denominations or at least churches. I use the nation comparison. The United States of America is a horribly imperfect nation. We did evil things. We still do evil things. We're trying to get better all the time, and that's, I don't leave my church because it failed and had evil moments or evil periods any more than I leave my country because of that. And we have to stay, I believe, not everyone has to do this myself the way I do, but I believe I stay with the church I love and in my very small way try to make it a better place. And there are certainly many people in that church that have tried to do that, the Jesuits among them, and I continue to try. Just like there are many people in this country, it's the same fight, you know, that we're fighting to not be such bad versions of ourselves. And right now, I think we have one of those opportunities that came around in the 60s and has come around periodically and is here again. And I think what Father Ed was saying through Amos yesterday is, let's take advantage of this. Let's not miss this opportunity because something makes us uncomfortable. I get uncomfortable. We talked about the statue issues. I don't like it when people destroy public property. I don't like it when they destroy pieces of history. I think we should go through a process if we decide as a public, not as a mob or as a crowd, that we should destroy something or take it down or put it in a museum. we decide that as a public, not as a bunch of people with spray paint and hammers. And so I don't like that, but that's part of the process we're going through too, discomfort.
Yeah, right. The willingness to be uncomfortable and to take yeah. action based on that discomfort. By the way, I like Crosby, Stills, and Nash better than Chicago as well. But I really prefer Neil Young. Of all of all the options on the table, I'd pick Neil Young any day.
and he was there too, you know, when he was functional. He was very important to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And wonderful.
What is the, what are the, for people who don't know who Amos is in our remaining minute, you know, what is this, who is this prophet and what is he telling us to consider?
Well, he, you know, one of the things, I love this because this is one of the readings, and Father Ed loves this too, where he's considered a minor prophet. I'm never quite sure what that is, you know, but he's pretty major in this area. But he talks about spurning your feasts and your solemnities and your cereal offerings and your stall-fed peace offerings and your noisy songs and your melodies of the harp. Let what he wants is burnt offerings that let justice surge like water and goodness like the unfailing stream. And that's the call that Martin Luther King gave through Amos. That's the call Father Ed gave yesterday through Amos. I think in many ways that's the call Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young have given in one way or another, and it's a call we should listen to.
You can find Kevin Wooster's work online at sdpb.org. Kevin, thank you so much. The Neil Young influences comes directly from my father, so that's my tribute to him today.
bless his heart and yours.